see this number out this evening, or this morning. I don't even know what time of day it is. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and the 24th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. And if you're visiting with us, I encourage you to get your Bible and that you study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In just a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. And if you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things are made ready, where you can confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and be immersed for remission of sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38 and other places. In the book of Luke, in the 24th chapter, begin reading with me, if you will, at verse 36, and we'll read down through verse 49. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they'd seen a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." We come now to what we'll identify as the concluding sermon in our series entitled Resurrection Day. We first examined Resurrection Morning in Luke 24, verses 1 through 12, and focused on the two Marys who were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb on Resurrection Morning. That on Resurrection Morning they came to the tomb and they found it empty save the grave clothes of Jesus. And they recognized there was more to the resurrection than a corpse. That Jesus was not there, the body was gone. Then we examined in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 19, resurrection afternoon, where Jesus walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus talked with them, though they did not recognize him. Then Jesus expounded the Scripture to them and revealed who he was, when he broke the bread. Then they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he proclaimed the word and expounded the word unto us?" And here were disciples that had their eyes opened, and they had their faith be increased, and they recognized that Jesus was telling them more than a story. He was telling them the truth about Scripture, that he had been resurrected from the dead. So that brings us to our third lesson and final lesson, Resurrection Evening. And now the disciples from Emmaus have come back. They are talking to the other disciples in the upper room. And notice that while they're talking about these things in verse 36, Jesus appears to them. And just like Jesus appeared to those on the road to Emmaus, notice they're going to have trouble recognizing that it is he. To him, they thought he was a ghost. So the first thing I want us to recognize is that when you come to Resurrection Evening, that Jesus is more than a ghost. He's the risen Christ. And Jesus did three things to these individuals to prove that he was the risen Savior. The first thing I want you to note is Jesus opened their eyes. When you look in verses 36 to 43, just like the two on the road to Emmaus who had their eyes open back in verse 31, Jesus had to open the eyes of his disciples on this occasion. And when he appeared to them, notice in verse 37, they first thought he was a ghost. That seemed more plausible to them than the fact he'd been risen from the grave. They said, surely this is his ghost. And so Jesus begins to question them to get them to see that it is he raised from the dead. Look at what he says in verse 38. Why are you troubled? And why do you have doubts? Why do you doubt in your heart? Have you ever noticed that Jesus had asked about the heart, and we see the heart in each of the accounts we preached on? And I want you to note, my friend, that here Jesus says, why do you have doubts? Earlier, he asked the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they had slow hearts to believe. Now he says, why are there doubts in your heart to the rest of the disciples? Jesus questioned them to show them that they should not doubt that he had been raised from the dead. Then look at what he says in verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. Touch me. See that I'm not a ghost. Put your hand here. He said, because flesh and bones, spirits don't have those. Touch me and see that I've been raised from the dead. And so in verse 40, he shows them his hands and his feet, the wounds where he'd been crucified. But notice in verse 41 something in particular. They still did not believe due to joy and confusion. So Jesus says, do you have any food? Now, Jesus probably wasn't hungry, but Jesus wants to open their eyes to the fact that he's not a spirit or a ghost, that they're not dreaming. So they gave him fish and honeycomb, and he ate it in their presence. That's to show that he had been raised from the dead, that he had a body. And I want you to recognize that he was not a ghost, he was not some spirit, but that his body had been raised, and that he was able to take food. But that brings up the second thought in our study. I want you to notice that not only did Jesus open their eyes, but Jesus opens their understanding with the open Scripture. Look at verse 44. Jesus said, these are the words. Underscore that. Jesus said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law, which were written with the prophets and the Psalms. Notice that he opens their understanding. How does he do it? The same way he opened their understanding on the road to Emmaus, by opening the Scripture that they may comprehend the truth. In verse 45 it said, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Jesus is wanting them to see the significance of the resurrection. He wanted them to comprehend the fact that he was not just revived from a position of being weak, that he didn't just swoon on the cross, that he actually died and was resurrected. He was raised by the power of God. And Jesus had told them several times before his death that he would be crucified, that he would be buried, that he would be raised. Jesus had told them before, and yet they never did let it sink in. And now Jesus says in verse 44, this is what I've been telling you would happen, that all things might be fulfilled, written in the law, prophets, and Psalms. You ever think about it? Jesus was the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. Jesus was the fulfillment of the scapegoat that you read about in Leviticus 16. Jesus was like Jonah, 3 days in the deep, but then raised. And he said that was the sign of Jonah he'd been telling them about. Jesus fulfilled all the types and all the prophecies of the Old Testament. So Jesus opens their mind that they can comprehend the significance of the resurrection. He opened their eyes. He opened their minds. But you know, my friend, there's a third thing that Jesus opened. Look, if you will, kindly in verses 47 to 49. In 47 to 49, Jesus tells them that they are to go tell others to repent and receive remission of sins. Now, in Mark's account of this event, we can read what Jesus said. In Mark 16, when Mark gives the account, he says in verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." You know what Jesus is saying? Go tell others I've been resurrected. It's interesting. When the women saw that his grave was empty, they ran to tell others. When the people in Emmaus saw that Jesus had been resurrected, they go 7 miles back to Jerusalem to say he's been raised. And now Jesus says, your mission is to go into all the world and tell them this news that I died for their sins. Though they were guilty of sin, though they were separated from me, though they were condemned, I died for them. Now if they will come to me in faith, be immersed into Christ, raised up to walk in newness of life, I will blot out their sins, and I can give them the gift that only I can give, eternal life. If they walk with me and they follow me, I will give them the gift of eternal life. What they earned is eternal death. That's what Paul says in Romans 6:23. The wages, what I've earned, of sin is death, but the gift, not something I've earned, but that's given to me, of God is life eternal. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson here. As we bring this series to a close, I want us to notice several things. The first thing I want us to notice is we need to open our eyes to the risen Christ. We need to see that Jesus is raised from the dead. That this is not a fairy tale. That this is not some ancient novel made up. But this deals with our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny determines whether or not Jesus was raised from the dead. And I want to tell you something, my friend. The way some people miss services and go through the motion during worship and are haphazard about how they come to God, I begin to wonder, do we really see how radical a truth it is that Jesus is raised from the dead? I sometimes wonder, do we really believe that He died for us? Because if I believe that He died for me, if I believe that He was raised for me, and if I believe that He's at the right hand of God, I would worship Him. I wouldn't dread it. But I would look forward to the day that I could worship somebody that loved me so much they gave their only begotten Son for me. I want to know, my friend, when Sunday rolls around, do you look forward to it or do you dread? We've got some, I believe, that dread. Now, I recognize that your preacher ain't much and he can be boring, and I recognize that sometimes the preaching's like it, but I want to tell you, there's more to worship than preaching. When we sing and when we take the Lord's Supper and when we are here to edify and encourage one another. But I'll tell you something, my beloved friend. We need to open our eyes. Oh God, speed the day we marvel and magnify the name of God for raising His Son from the dead so we can have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. As Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, God, speed the day that we look forward to worshiping the One who loves us even though we've rebelled. May God pity the day that we dread worship. That brings up a second thought. We need to open our minds and understand the Scripture. Oh, this is a plea I make to you and to myself. Let's study the Word of God more. You know, some people, I think, the only book they read is Facebook. And I'm going to tell you something, that don't count in school. And I'll tell you, the book that is really needed to be read more and studied more is this book. We need to study about the riches of God's Word. And when we study, the light comes on to how great God is and how little we are and how much we need Him and how wonderful His love is and how terrific His mercy is. You ever study? Do you see the power of His Word? And someone may say, "Preacher, I don't see it." And I'll tell you the reason a lot of people don't see it. They don't study. Some need to open their eyes and minds about their soul condition. Some in this auditorium have never been baptized into Christ and raised with Christ. And you know, my friend, you stand condemned. You stand lost. I don't know how to make it any plainer than to say that if you reject His command when He says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, he who doesn't believe shall be damned," that's pretty plain. If I've never been immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, then I'm still in sin. I'm either in Christ or I'm in sin, but I'm in one or the other. And which one are you in? And may I ask you something with all kindness and yet with all candor? What would keep you from wanting to be a child of God? You may say, "Oh, preacher, I've got more things I want to do." So what you're saying is I want to continue to live in sin? Oh, yes, I want to continue to live in sin. But I, when I get older, when I've already passed all those days, then I'll make it right. I don't know how many times I've had people tell me that. Or they thought that. That I'll just live the way I want to live, and then when I get old. But my friend, there's no guarantee you'll get old. And secondly, I'll tell you, there's no guarantee your heart will be tender to the Word of God. And thirdly, how insulting is that to God? Can you imagine telling your wife, "You know something? I'm going to go out here and I'm going to spend time with all these other women, do whatever I want to do, but when we get old, I'll hold your hand." Well, good grief, she'd throw a pan at me. And yet that's how we treat God. We tell God we want to go out and do our own thing, our own way, and God will have something to do with you when we're about to die. What makes you think God would want to have anything to do with us? And yet His mercy abounds. Finally, we need to open our mouths about Jesus. The women who went to the tomb did. The two traveling on the Emmaus Road did. And these disciples did, because good news can't wait. You ever notice when you have good news, you can't wait to tell it? My wife tried to hide the fact that she was pregnant with Sam. One night, I was looking through some drawers, and I found a pregnancy test that said positive. And I said, "What's this mean?" I'm not very smart, but I said, "Are we expecting?" And she said, "Maybe." So I went to Walmart and got another test to make sure. I said, "Let's take another one." And you know what I did the next day? I got up and announced, "We're going to have a child," from the pulpit. And she said, "You're not supposed to announce it that quick." You know what? Good news can't wait. When you're excited to tell about something, you can't wait to tell. But I'll tell you something. Who have we told about Jesus? Do you believe in the resurrection? I've had some people tell me, "Preacher, you can believe what you want to believe. Just don't feel like you've got to tell it to me." I want to tell you something. If it's worth believing, then it's worth telling to someone, especially someone you care about. And that means if I risk friendships, I risk friendships. That means if somebody turns on me because I believe that Jesus raised from the dead, they turn on me. But if it's worth believing, it's worth telling. Are you ashamed of what you believe in? Are you ashamed that Jesus suffered on the cross and the fact He's been risen from the dead and now sits right at the right hand of God? Or do you rejoice? Because good news can't wait. I had a friend one time told me, I was listening to him, he said that his brother called him at 3 o'clock to tell him he was engaged. And he called him at 4 o'clock in the morning to tell him his first child was expected. He said, not on the same night. 4 years apart. Well, why? Good news can't wait. And you know something? If you're not a child of God, you've never been baptized in Christ, you can't wait either. You shouldn't be able to wait to get down here and say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ this morning. You should say, I can't wait to be a child of God because I see how much He loves me and what He's done for me. And I can't wait to be obedient to Him. Good news. Can't wait. Pray tell me. How can you? You need to obey the gospel. Come.